Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you can be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Before we get into our subject matter, we just want to remind our listeners that we are planning to once again go back to the Holy Land. Eric, why don't you tell them about this upcoming trip?
Yeah, we're going in February of 2015, which is a year away, and I know that sounds like a long time to even think about, but you want to start planning for this now. We went last year in 2013 and brought 40 people with us. We're going back, you and I, Bill, along with several pastors and some other people, and we're going to go to Turkey for 6 days. We're going to
see that's an optional portion. Right?
That's seven churches of Revelation, and then we're going to go to Israel for 11 days there. If that's something you've been thinking about, you've been hearing the commercials, you're on our newsletter list, and you've seen the ad that we've had there, and you'd like to learn more, this is why we're talking about this in the middle of a show. On Tuesday, February 11th, next Tuesday at 6:30, if you'd like to come and hear about the trip, I have a PowerPoint. I will share the PowerPoint. This is going to happen at Gateway Community Church in Draper, which is right off the 123rd South. It's actually, the address is 584 East, 123 South. That is in Draper, right off the freeway, not far from the freeway at all, only 5 blocks away. So that, again, that's next Tuesday at Gateway Community Church in the Spanish School. So if you see the church building to the right, it's called the Spanish School. You just go to the right of where the church entrance is, and that will be from 6:30 to 7:30. I'll have answers to all your questions. I'll have information there. And the PowerPoint, I think, will give you a good explanation as to what this trip is going to be all about. Love to have you come Tuesday, February 11th, 6:30 to 7:30 at Gateway Community Church.
All right. Yesterday, we introduced to our listeners Warren Steed Jeffs. Warren Jeffs, of course, is spending his life in a Texas prison right now. And we wanted to talk a little bit about not only Warren Jeffs and his background as leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're going to be right up front with you. We certainly do not want to make the mistake of trying to make you think there's any connection between the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that is headquartered in Salt Lake City. I know that this is a real pet peeve with a lot of members of the Mormon Church, which would be the LDS Church in Salt Lake City, because far too many people tend to connect the fundamentalist groups known by many as the Fundamentalist Mormons, and I know even that connection irritates a lot of Latter-day Saints because they think they own the word Mormon, which they really don't. But there is no connection between the two, other than when you trace the leadership of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, when you trace its pedigree back, you're going to find that the members who started this particular movement were all at one time loyal to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you're going to find that when you study the background of a lot of the fundamentalist groups, and there are different clans that are scattered throughout Utah and northern Arizona and such, but if you go back into their history, you're going to find that at some point there were loyal members to the LDS Church who ended up leaving either the church proper, their membership church proper, or at least leaving the teachings of the LDS Church and going back to what they feel are the doctrinal roots of the church, which would, of course, include the practice of plural marriage. This is what they're known for, is the practice of plural marriage. Warren Jeffs certainly was a polygamist, but what got him into trouble is that he was convicted of 2 felony counts of child sexual assault. And even though they believed in polygamy, they kind of carried that to the extreme where it included the marrying of very young girls. And I think the youngest girl that's involved in this case was like 12 years old.
Mary Ann Jessup.
That's what got him in trouble. In fact, that's what gets a lot of these fundamentalists Mormons into trouble is they start going after either the very young girls that they have some kind of power and control over, or they start getting involved in incestuous relationships. Mm-hmm. And in the FLDS church, can you really escape the incestuous aspect of it? I mean, there's only so many families, right, really, that belong to these groups. They're not really recruiting outsiders, folks. They're inbreeding their members, which causes all sorts of physical problems when you start looking at the fumarace deficiency, and we're not going to spend a lot of time with that in this segment. But this is what gets them in trouble. It's not so much that they're practicing polygamy, because the government really doesn't have a whole lot of power to stop them from doing that, unless they try to marry a second woman in the eyes of the state. And we know with the Cody Brown case just recently, now the federal authorities, the law enforcement authorities, don't really have any more teeth to going after a lot of these fundamentalists, because the part that banned unlawful cohabitation has been struck. Yeah. And that's no longer can be considered lawful.
So much of this book, Message to All Nations, centers around Warren Jeffs. I mean, it really does. I found it fascinating. I'd read his name all the time when Jesus is speaking, and Warren's name, my servant Warren Jeffs, all the way through. But he wrote a revelation that I think I want to mention right now. It's Section Revelation 5, a petition to the President of the United States of America. And what I'm going to read to you right now was put into 600 packets in February of 2011 and given to every member of Congress and all the major players in Washington, D.C., including Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. This was his appeal from Jesus Christ. Well, I shouldn't say his appeal. This is what he said Jesus Christ said. This is how Jesus titled this. To the Honorable President of the United States of America, now standing as head of this nation, cause that my servant who presides over my church now be delivered by thy hand. Let thy servant go, that he may perform his mission to prepare my people for my coming. Cause that the prosecutors now cease their attack upon my servant Warren Jeffs. Cause that this nation now restore to my people the consecrated land taken from them. Cause that there be remuneration given them for the loss of the homes that are occupied by the enemies of my people who are in Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah area. Cause that the attack against my people in Texas be stopped. I, the Lord, shall cause my judgments to be withheld as you perform this work. Otherwise, let this nation know that I am with my people and shall sweep the wicked from the face of the earth, from the land of America. Thus shall I perform my work by my almighty power. It was so important that it was reprinted 53 pages later. He redid that because that section Revelation 5 is the centerpiece. You release Warren Jeffs, let the people do what they want, and we won't have the punishments that are going to be talked about in this book throughout the many warnings that Jesus Christ gave to the world.
And as we mentioned yesterday, the year 2012 was supposed to be the culminating year.
Yep.
So we shouldn't have had a 2013. So here we are in 2014. So why is it? That would seem to prove that he was a false prophet. He gives a prediction that certainly doesn't come to pass. I'm sure the president probably never even saw that.
Yeah,
you know, probably a lot of the congressmen and whoever else received it in our government probably laughed it off as well.
Well, and you say 2013 shouldn't happen. I mean, it really was supposed to happen. I mean, this was written in February of 2011. He's convicted in August of 2011. And by the very fact that they're going to imprison him for life, that should have been going against what this said. Now, it's interesting. On November 2nd, 2010, he wrote Special Revelation Chapter 2, 26 through 28, and this is what it says. Know that my servant Warren Jeffs has been humbled. Though he feared in the day of trial, I, the Lord, have lifted him up to be my spokesman. Thus has he sent my word to the government officials of the nation of the United States of America. And yet we don't get any information as to how exactly he thought he was humbled. There was one time in the trial where he mouthed the words, and it wasn't on record, that he was not a prophet, because that's what they were asking him, are you a prophet? And he mouthed the words, but he didn't say it out loud, and it was seen that that's what he was saying. We're not sure, though, what it means that he's being humbled. But it says in Special Revelation 7:39, it doesn't matter because I, the Lord, have forgiven him for his wrongs, and I am with him in establishing my cause of Zion to the salvation of nations who remain. It's kind of schizophrenic. Sometimes Warren Jeffs is very adamant that he's innocent and that everything that's being done against him is persecution. And other times he acts as if I'm sorry for what I did, but we don't know what he did. What were his crimes? But then he gets very audacious. For instance, in section Revelation 132, verses 1 through 6, he says that he doesn't have a higher authority, that he, Warren Jeffs, is the authority. It says, I, even Jesus Christ, speak to the present judge over court proceedings against my servant Warren Jeffs. I cause him to no longer be of an answering to your unjust and corrupt and unauthorized rulings. As I, the Lord, even Jesus Christ, am above all, and my law is religious and of me, a heavenly power over all creation, your judging is not based on truth. I cause him to not answer to the court. Let thy rulings against him cease. I shall soon lay a heavy hand on all who fight against my priesthood and church, saith the Lord. Now know I am God, even above all, and court of persecution shall not be ceasing in my way of eternal power, taking a hand, if you will continue unjust way. Amen. And he repeats that four revelations later. So 132 is the same as 136, exact same revelation, where the judge is told he's not going to have to listen to you because Warren Jeffs is higher than you.
And when we look at, for instance, the Doctrine and Covenants, we do find a little bit of the same type of a pattern here, mm-hmm. You know, where Joseph Smith actually would sometimes say that God was chastising him for some things. And of course, that would make you think, well, gee, that must prove that he's a prophet of God because he admits that even he has shortcomings and God is dealing with him too. Well, Warren Jeffs, it seems like he caught on to that. And so he can use that same kind of pattern maybe to convince his followers.
If people want to read more about this, we're going to talk about this for the rest of the week. But if they go to our website, mrm.org, on the front page, you can see this article that I have written. It's a very lengthy article. It's over 30 pages of Word document, so it's going to take you a little time to get through. But the /Warren-Jeffs, so mrm.org/Warren-Jeffs, and this will give you more information because we're not going to cover the entire article in these shows.
Hopefully you'll be listening to tomorrow's broadcast as we continue our look into the teachings of Warren Jeffs.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.